Hello all sentient beings and welcome to the Transmissions Podcast, where we talk all Hasbro, Takara, and third party
Transformers!
On this episode of Transmissions, Target is getting an exclusive Transformers Studio Series figure. Flame Toys comes out with several new figures, including G1 Seekers, and Azure Sea Studio shows off a new Starscream statue. Today is Wednesday, July 29th, 2020, and this is episode 392 of Transmissions.
Welcome to Transmissions, the podcast that took a test that proves we're cognitively able to podcast. Robot, Autobot, Decepticon, microphone, Discord. I'm yours, Charles, a.k.a. Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Jeremy, a.k.a. Yakko.
Hey, how's it going? I had not noticed that you changed that intro. I was not expecting that.
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
Hey, how's it going? Patreon, microphone, Decepticon, fuck.
Doesn't matter, you're Canadian.
I gotta leave now, I guess. Let's talk Transformers.
All right. Daryl's showing signs of dementia, unfortunately. Well, but he's got free healthcare, so that's okay.
Yeah.
Happy War for Cybertron week, everyone. So the Netflix show is out tomorrow. Hopefully everyone is excited to see that. As always, we start off the show by thanking our Donatrions, those lovely people who give us money on Patreon and PayPal. Thank you so much for continuing to support us, and we really appreciate it. If you would like to join the ranks of our Donatrions, just go to transmissionspodcast.com/support. You can also help us out by buying some merchandise from our T Public store. That is at transmissionspodcast.com/shop. And you can also check out our friend K-Girl's store at tpublic.com/user/superstarK. We've got lots of cool Transmissions shirt designs and mask designs up there you can buy from our store. You can also buy anything from TeePublic through our link, and that still helps the show out. So just remember, transmissionspodcast.com/shop. Now, one of the perks of being a Donatrion is that you are automatically entered into our Toy Hacks $10 gift code drawing for every month. And we also take all the contest entries that we receive from our email at contest@transmissionspodcast.com. We did get two entries this week in addition to all of our Donatrons. So Daniel and Cameron, you are in the pool. So good luck. You do have a chance to win. Thank you for sending in your entries. Although Cameron, please figure out how to use email. All right, Jeremy, are you... or is your assistant ready to help us pick this, pick the winner?
Computer, are you ready?
I'm ready when you are.
All right. If we could please have a number, a random number between 1 and 83.
Computer, give me a random number between 1 and 83.
Your random number between 1 and 83 is 35.
That is our friend Travis. Again, I think he just won a couple of months ago. Travis, congratulations. You have won again.
Well done.
We don't have any rules right now.
There are no rules. You win winners. And you can go right back in. So, well done. He won. Congratulations. No, I'm just looking at the list here. And Travis did win back in, what was it, June? No, the May draw. So.
Oh, wow.
He was our 32nd winner, and we just drew the 35th with winner.
Well, congratulations, Travis.
Since I'm looking at this thing right now, I just wanted to let everyone know, through Toy Hacks and their partnership with us in Transmissions, we have given away $350 in monthly prizes since we started this.
It's awesome.
Wow.
Well done to us.
Yeah. So, you know, we're happy to spend some of this money.
So it's pretty cool. I mean, I've been keeping records of who's won and how much and everything. So it's pretty cool. So yeah, well done, Travis. I once again will be in contact with you about this, and we'll see what you want to do.
All right, cool. Congratulations, Travis. Apologies to everyone else. All right. Other thing we want to mention is that we have the uncut version of Empire of Rust episode 28. So this is the with all the extra stuff left in, the exclusive directors or should I say game masters version of the podcast. This is exclusive to our Donatrons, and this is out in the Donatron feed. It should already be available to you. It came out this Monday, so Monday, July 27th. So if you have either access to the Patreon or through the Dropbox link that we share with our PayPal donors, that's where you can...
At this point, it's done. Right? most of the people moved back to PayPal.
And I mentioned it at the top of the show, but the Netflix War for Cybertron Seed show is out this week. And we have a special interview with the showrunner, FJ DeSanto. That also came out on Monday to everyone's main feed. And it's also up on YouTube. So you can see it's a video interview. We also have the audio in our podcast feed. And we have a transcript if you want to, you know, read through it and maybe share that on online forums or whatever. If you're citing information, it's very searchable and easy to read through. So,
and please share the video, the audio, whatever. Just spread it around. It's a great interview. It's like around 2 hours long, an hour and a half long. So, yeah, it's a great interview. Had a lot of fun.
Jeremy worked really hard.
Yes, and that. He did. He did.
I'd say no. It's not a joke. I'm being serious. You think I'm joking all the time?
It's so hard to tell with you.
Not joking. I'm being serious. He worked very hard on this. He deserves the view count.
Yes. And FJ DeSanto is awesome. He is a real guy who cares about Transformers, and I think his work speaks for itself. I think we were really happy with the new show, and you can hear all the passion he talks about when he's in the interview with us. So
I feel a lot of people are worried about it because of the connections with the Prime Wars shows, and he does explain why. Like there was a showrunner at the beginning, and he basically took over partway through. So creative stuff was already locked in. He was basically just trying to kind of get it done, but then the War for Cybertron is completely his baby. And like you said, the passion he talks about Transformers.
Yeah, he's a fan.
Yeah, he really cares about the property.
Yep. And if you're curious to know what we thought about War for Cybertron Siege, you can also check out our spoiler-free review. That's also up on YouTube and in the audio version is in the podcast feed as well. So you can check that out. We give a completely spoiler-free thoughts about the show since we did get a chance to see it. And then we'll do an in-depth spoiler-filled discussion in our upcoming Alt Mode episode. So we're going to talk about episodes 1 through 3 this week in Transmissions Alt Mode. And then we'll do 4 through 6 in next week. So you can get all the War for Cybertron content this week. And we do have a very special clip to tease the War for Cybertron interview with FJ DeSanto, because we had a Daryl asks a very interesting question that was really cool. So I won't say anything more. Jeremy, play the clip.
Daryl, I'm going to throw this to you because you just came up with this question. So go ahead.
Oh, sure.
Was he like sneaky typing questions to you?
I was. Yeah. That's good.
I don't want to be. I don't want to look like an asshole if I'm wrong. the Transformers trading card game actually has added a really new aspect to Transformers recently, and it's providing a look into the future of Transformers and perhaps the show Siege. What can you tell us about Mercenaries?
I can't tell you anything about Mercenaries.
If you want the rest of the answer, watch the interview. He tells us a lot by not telling us a lot. I guess if you're not familiar with Mercenaries, look at the logo on exhaust. That's Mercenary logo.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, today is this podcast is all about Transformers toys and action figures. So let's get into the toy news.
All right. And first up, we are going to talk about some store exclusives, I guess. That's what they're going to be. And these are... The first one is a figure that's popped up in... what is this? Target? Yeah, Target's... what is it? It's like their store point of sale system. Sure, that works. And it's Earthrise Runabout. So... We knew Runabout was coming. It was a foregone conclusion when they announced Run Amok. So Runabout has shown up in their system at $19.99 for deluxe, and it has a SKU number or whatever you guys call it in the States, IDMI or what, I don't know, whatever you guys call those things, but it's their.
Well, I think Target has like a system like DPCI that's what or something.
The acronym is yes.
Or yeah. DCPI. So,
anyway, so Runabout is in the Target system. We knew it was coming. We just kind of didn't know when or where, and here it is. So, be on the lookout for Runabout or Runamuck to start showing up, or Runabout to start showing up with Runamuck. So, yeah, that's kind of fun. The next one. Is another kind of completion of a team that wasn't completely expected, but it's good that they did it because this is Studio Series, and we got the Wreckers from the movie line. So this was the Dark of the Moon movie, and we got the Wreckers. So it was, what are the other guys? I only know them by their NASCARs. So you got the Dale Hart Jr. car, and you got the Jimmy Johnson car, and you got the Pablo Montoya car. So, yeah, I can't remember who the actual names of these guys were, but anyway.
It Studio says Series. Leadfoot here.
Yes, I know, but who were the other ones?
Oh.
The other two.
Roadbuster? Was one of them Roadbuster?
That's Roadbuster. Yeah, okay, Roadbuster was one, and then the other one was some other dude. Anyway... The Target car, by some genius marketing person, is a Target exclusive. So Deluxe Leadfoot, Studio Series 68 is Deluxe Leadfoot, is a Target exclusive. Went up for pre-order and lasted maybe 3 seconds. So
I'm shocked.
So it went up and it was $19.99, I think. Yeah, it's gone. So it looks good. It's pretty cool. I don't know how any other places in the world are going to get the Target car. Like Red Wing. I think Red Wing came out in Canada somewhere else. No, maybe not.
Well, this one has the Target
logo. It does have the Target logo, but I mean, that's never stopped anything before. But yeah, so anyway, this thing is the Target exclusive. It's sold out in minutes, and it's... starting to do the scalper thing on eBay. So do any of these, I mean, they're both completions of a set, kind of like a subset of characters. Do any of them appeal to you? You know, I know none of you guys are really into the Pseudo Series line, but are either one of you kind of looking to get the Runabout, Run Amok kind of pairing, Charles?
I would not object to Runabout and Run Amok. I would get those guys. I like those guys. They have a special place in my heart from back in the Marvel comics when they did graffiti on the Statue of Liberty. I always liked that issue. That, you know, that told you all you needed to know about the Battle Chargers. They're just jerks and they're funny. So yeah, I would. I mean, I'm not going out of my way to get, like, I'm not, you know, hunting down the Target stores or looking up their product codes. But if I see them in the store, I'll pick them up.
Mm-hmm.
Leadfoot is a pass for me. Not really interested.
Yeah, I figured as much. Jeremy, you come from the South, right? So mm-hmm. NASCAR is essentially your sport.
No.
Well, no, it is. I mean, everyone knows that, you know, Southern folk live, eat, sleep, and breathe NASCAR. I assume that Leadfoot is something that you're interested in, as well as the other, you know, Dark of the Moon Wreckers. How many Leadfoots are you going to buy and send out as gifts? And Can you possibly get me one?
I might possibly be able to get you one, and that would probably be the only one I buy. I am not a NASCAR fan. I can appreciate it for what it is, but there are people that just drive in a circle, turn left. I do think that the car mode looks really cool. It would be very interesting, and I would watch NASCAR races if the cars had all these guns and stuff on them.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
It'd be a whole different, or even the little jet boosters.
Death race. I mean, NASCAR death race series. It would
be a whole different sport. I like that his visor kind of gives the impression that they're like sunglasses. I mean, the face, yeah, I think looks cool. And he comes with a little steel jaw. I don't know if it transforms or anything.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I see that.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a little cute. Steel jaw. So, I mean, not really for me. If I see it in the store, I'll pick one up for you. But I'm not getting any to send to family, okay, or anything. Runabout, Run Amok, I would be interested in because I had some from the Collector's Club. I don't know what happened to them.
I don't know.
So I think they made their way up to Canada, but I would be interested in Earthrise versions of them.
That's cool. They look like they're going to be good figures. I just hope that they don't suffer from like the modern, you know, figure kind of affliction of being like really cheap kind of plastic. And I don't know. And the one thing that I was going to say about Leadfoot is that he was always the fat guy Transformer, having that, you know, the front of the car hang down like really low, being a big beer belly. I don't know. It kind of appealed to me. I don't know what to say. So I'd like it. Yeah. So we're going to move on. And I got one more thing. And this was kind of like a last minute addition to my my topic list here. Weijiang. We all know them as being a company that produces like knockoffs. In recent years, they kind of got into producing third-party stuff and, you know, trying to do their own thing. The last little while, last 6 months or so, kind of things kind of exploded for them in a bad way. So they got raided by the Chinese police. The story kind of took a turn for the weird this past week when they were officially shut down by the police, and information started coming out that the owner or president of Weijiang, an image of him meeting Takara head designer Shogo Hasui at a toy show and presenting him with his knockoff of Evasion Mode Prime, like the oversized knockoff of Evasion Mode Prime. That kind of showed up on Twitter. And, you know, that was, it's kind of weird. So it's an interesting kind of twist to this. Like, in my opinion, it seems like the owner of Weijiang, or this person, whatever his position was there, is that he was very proud of the figure. Like, on the surface, you look at it and you think, why would somebody take their knockoff figure to the head designer of Takara and say, here, look what I did with your figure. I knocked it off. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side, if you know the history of Shogo Hasui, you know that he got his job at Takara by designing an RC figure, and that got Takara's attention, and then they hired him. So there's potential that this person took his version of Evasion Mode Prime to Shogo Hasui in the hopes that they would be impressed with it and he would get a job with Takara. This is all speculation. Nobody really knows what really transpired there. This image is just kind of popped up, and we really don't know what's behind the image or any other story behind it. But we do know, as far as the police report came out, is that they were just going to read this from the kind of blurb that was written here. The Chinese police investigated and busted the nation's first Transformers IP violating case, uncovering a replica producing size increasing production oversized KOs, packaging selling criminal ring, catching 5 people and discovering nearly 30 products totaling 30,000 pieces and confiscating around 100 million Chinese yuan. So that's a lot of cash. They don't speculate whether it's products alone or machinery that were counted towards it. They have a lot of blueprints that are provided by the man in charge. The person they have in custody is well versed in Transformers collecting due to the amount of experience they have, and have used his expertise in the industry to help with Wei Zhang to replicate the Transformers toys. So yeah, it was quite a big case, and I'm sure everyone's kind of heard a little piece about it, you know, over the last week. Basically the headline was Wei Zhang's busted. Nothing out of Wei Zhang is coming, you know, anymore. If you have any pending orders with Wei Zhang, they're not coming. Let's open it up. I mean, Charles, what are your thoughts on this whole case? Where do you see this? Is this, you know, was this something that was due? I mean, should the rest of the third party companies kind of look out? What do you think? What do you think about this?
I mean, I think it's specific to what is actually being done in a third party company, right? I mean, if they're doing original designs, I think that skirts the IP issue. But if you're just making bigger versions of designs that Hasbro's already making, then yeah, I mean, you should be careful here. I mean, frankly, it surprises me that third party is allowed to continue to operate, and they've been operating for like 20 years now, and Hasbro and Takara have kind of treated them pretty lightly. So, I mean, yeah. I think they could. I mean, there's always a time when they could just get fed up and say, we're going to crack down. Like, I mean, we even saw that last year with Unicron when Zeta Toys tried to put up their Unicron directly, you know, and try to directly compete with Hasbro and Takara's crowdfunding. They shut them down pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think this should always be, and if you're a third party producer and you're making knockoffs or oversized versions, you should always be aware that this can come and can come without warning.
There seems to have been a crime ring aspect to this as well, which may have forced the Chinese police hand. I don't disagree with you that the third party companies, you know, should always have one eye open kind of thing, looking over their shoulder, you know, thinking, yeah, you know, is this pushing the envelope too much? But Wei Zhang, their whole deal was oversized knockoffs. They would take mm-hmm. something that they was already done. They'd tweak it a little bit because most of the time it was better. They did a pretty good job of, you know, kind of, you know, making something a little bit better and fixing any issues. And then they'd oversize it and sell it as their own. They really didn't have any of their own stuff. Like I said in the beginning, in the latter half, you know, most recently, they did start to produce something. They had their own Omega Supreme that they were doing, and then a couple others that I can't think of off the top of my head. But yeah, their whole deal was to just make big versions of stuff that other people made. And it didn't stop mm-hmm. at just Hasbro. They were oversizing third-party companies, too.
Yeah, I mean, so that seems to be like the, you know, I mean, and I don't know what this, if I don't know, you know, this is a translation, so I don't know if this crime ring just means that that's just a description of, well, it was a lot of people working on this stuff. So, or is it like people were actively like working in the Hasbro factories and then stealing designs and bringing them to them? If that's
oh, right, yeah,
the case, maybe that's what they're talking about, is that, you know, there was they had evidence of stealing IP directly, not just, mm-hmm. you know, getting the figure and taking it apart and redesigning it. So, mm-hmm. but that's just speculation on my part. I don't, you know, we don't have the details of what exactly is going on here, but yeah, I mean, for me personally, I think this is, you know, as fans and collectors, we, you know, it's everyone's personal opinion, like what they're willing to tolerate in the knockoff and third party market. I think, you know, for sometimes it's, you know, we justify it because Hasbro doesn't, you know, or Hasbro Takara doesn't give us what we want, or, you know, or make it easy for us to get what we want. Like my thought always goes back to that Sound Blaster and Rat Bat, where the only way you could get the Rat Bat figure was to buy the Sound Blaster figure. But if you just wanted mm-hmm. the Rat Bat tape, the Masterpiece Rat Bat tape, you had to go to a knockoff. And, right. you know, I think a lot of people took advantage of that because people were not going to pay another $100 or $150 for another Soundwave figure if they already had a Masterpiece Soundwave. They didn't just want a black Soundwave just for that one Rat Bat. Yeah, I mean, that's just a rationalization and not really justifying it. But yeah, I mean, I think it's always going to be a gray area. So third-party companies, watch your back.
Jeremy, do you own anything from Wei Jiang? I'm struggling to think. Like, I mean, I know I do. I have a few things.
I don't think so.
It's a few years ago, we were all gifted oversized Power Glides. And I'm wondering if...
Oh, yeah, I do have that. I don't know if it's Wei Jiang.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. But yeah, no, I'm just trying to think of, you know, a lot of people in the community will not be affected by this. This is just something that is a you know, a Chinese company that was selling something that was illegal anyway, and they've been taken care of. Where do you see this as our business correspondent? Do you see this affecting, you know, anything in the greater Transformers community?
I mean, not in a large sense. I mean, this is like, you know, say what you will for the third party companies, you know, like Fans Toys and whatnot. You guys were saying that they're at least doing their own designs. They're, you know, the IP is not theirs, but the designs is stuff that their people have come up with. Wei Jiang is taking the actual designs and, you know, tweaking it some, but, you know, say some kid got a hold of one of those toys and got hurt somehow. People are going to come to Hasbro upset, even though it's not a Hasbro product. And this toy passed no safety standards. And that's probably why, you know, knockoff companies are in the crosshairs. They're, you know, they're literally causing, or they can cause bigger issues for Hasbro in addition to the lost sales. Whereas, you know, someone that buys, you know, even the Zeta Toys Unicron, that's a collector piece. They're not going to let some kid play with that figure unsupervised. I think unless they're doing something blatant, like trying to compete with, you know, Hasbro's crowdfunding thing, they're largely going to be able to work under the radar, at least for the time being. But, you know, you're deliberately knocking off a toy, you're going to be in the crosshairs. And I was surprised they lasted as long as they did.
Yeah, no, I can see that as well. I'm assuming that at some point there will be another company that comes up like Jingwei. Yeah, exactly. It'll be something dumb. Like, you know, that this won't be dead for long.
It's so, China.
Yeah. But it's interesting. And, you know, we'll follow it as best we can from over here in North America. So yeah.
I'm wondering if people are they a company where you would have to like go through AliExpress to buy their product. So I'm wondering if any customers are out money now.
I assume so. I assume there are.
I've never ordered anything from AliExpress, so I don't know.
I mean, I've ordered a couple things. It's been a long time since I've ordered Transformers, but that Devastator, that Gravity Builder that I ordered was not Wei Jiang, but it's in the same kind of, you know, ballpark. But there is a Wei Jiang version of that particular figure. So
yeah, so they were ripping off even third party.
Yeah, they are, or were. Yeah. All right, Jeremy, I took your business topic, so what do you got for us?
I have some, I don't know if it's considered Comic-Con or what, but Flame Toys have made a number of announcements this past weekend. Specifically in the Transformers line, we have the Kurokura Curry, which is their action figure line. It's not the model kits, and it's obviously not transforming, but they have an IDW Rodimus. They showed off a gray prototype and then a Victory Leo colored sample. And I think we had seen the Victory Leo before in a black and white or in a gray prototype phase. They also have in the Furai action line, which let's see, I think the Kurokuri Kurokara Curry line is more, they have the metal, you know, it's die cast. And I think the Furai action is more just a more of an action figure plasticky. Yeah, it says it's a more accessible price range. They showed off a gray prototype of Leo Prime and the Optimus Primal that I think we all raved about when we first saw. There's a now color example of that. So before I go on, what are your guys' thoughts on these? Like, Daryl, I don't think any of us have any of this. We've stuck with the model kits.
Yeah.
But yeah. Would you be interested in any of these?
Well, I remember seeing the Victory Saber as prototype and thinking that it was just phenomenal. Seeing it in color now, I'm going to kind of backtrack a bit. It seems like a bit of a mess. It's very, very busy. And, you know, maybe if we get more, like, better pictures of it, I might change my, you know, opinion again. But it's all over the place. And, yeah, it's cool, and it's going to be insanely expensive. But it just seems like it's really, really busy. There aren't any kind of ways that it looks like it goes together, you know, well. It just, I mean, it obviously combines both figures combine, and they obviously have to do it well because both figures are very heavy. It doesn't look like on an original G1 or the Masterpiece Victory, or sorry, Star Saber. If you add the Victory Leo to it, to become Victory Saber, it still looks like Star Saber. Is what I'm trying to say. You know, it still looks like Star Saber on it. Mm-hmm. This guy here, why is Victory Leo's, you know, lion head on Star Saber's chest? Like, he's not Predaking. You know, that's a completely different look, and it throws off the aesthetic of this combined mode. He's insanely Japanese looking, which is, you know, it looks more like a Gundam than it does a Transformer. Mm-hmm. But it looks way too busy. If I'm looking at this one picture of Victory Saber combined, where he's kind of like, looks like he's kind of flying or jumping, you almost can't see his head because it's just buried in all this other stuff. And obviously you can, you know where the head's going to be. So you can kind of say, okay, well, there's where the head is, but it's just so busy. Now, that being said, this Jazz, I love it.
Well, I hadn't talked about the Jazz yet.
Why not?
Like, because I just did that first link, and I was just letting you go on because you were talking about Victory Saber, and I had only mentioned Victory Levo.
Oh. But, you know. All right. Well, then I won't talk about Jazz then. I'll talk about the other one.
What do you think about the IDW Rodimus?
Rodimus looks cool. He looks fun. You know, I assume these are the, like, the not model kits, so.
Yeah, the Rodimus is the more expensive.
Yeah,
with diecast,
but the
Leo Prime and Optimus Primal are the
model kits. Yeah, so
no, it's not the model kits; just plastic.
All right. Well, okay. So Rodimus looks cool. He looks okay. I don't like Rodimus enough to shell out for this, and it looks like it's too bare for, you know, what they're doing with that high end metal, you know, kits that they've been doing. Like, for example, the Megatron, like that IDW Megatron that they did with the that turns into the stealth bomber Megatron with that big backpack they gave him.
Yeah.
Right. But this Rodimus by comparison looks plain, but he's a Rodimus, so he's fun. The Leo Prime or Leo Convoy, I can't get past the lion face looks like a giant mask on his, on his arm. It's like an African mask is sitting on his arm. But the aesthetics of the figure look cool. Just that mask on his arm just looks terrible.
I mean, maybe that's the style they're going for, being that, you know, lions are typically found in Africa.
Cool.
I mean, maybe they're it's going to be a little more stylized.
But it looks cool. I really like the Optimus Primal. I think it looks awesome. It just it invokes the toy, and it doesn't have all of that stupid kibble that the toy has. So it looks fun. I like it a lot. So if that's one of those model kits, then I'm totally for that. So yeah,
it's not the model.
Why kit. Not, Jeremy? Why not?
I know. All right. Well, Charles, we know how much you liked Rodimus Prime in the comics. If they're going to be getting both an orange and a purple version, are you going to pull a Shelton and get both?
I will take that Optimus Primal model kit, though. I like that.
It's not a model kit.
Yeah, these all look pretty good. The one thing I agree with Daryl that the Victory Leo is very Gundam-y and not really Transformers-y. The Rodimus looks good, but I kind of don't like this. Like, the spoiler has become giant wings on his shoulders. Like, Hot Rod Spoiler is just, you know, it's a little thing on his back. It's not supposed to be like giant wings. It just looks that's a minor thing, but I just don't like how oversized the spoiler on his back is now. But yeah, I agree that it's a little bit plain looking. I want to see what the paint will look like, but also these action figures are way outside my price range for non-transforming figures. Mm-hmm. They're too expensive. And Leo, the Leo Convoy, I'm not too fond of. The lion mask face doesn't look great. Leo Convoy was not a favorite character of mine anyway. But yeah, that Optimus Primal, and yeah, I agree with Daryl. Give us a model kit for that.
All right, well, let's move on. The next ones we have, like Daryl's already gone on about Victory Saber, and I think we can all agree it's a bit messy. They also showed off sketches of God-powered jet armor for their movie-looking Optimus Prime, because it looks like the Jetfire from Revenge of the Fallen. It's a very rough sketch, but that's what I get from it. And then they also showed off Jazz, and these are both for the Kuro Kara Kuri line. Yeah, I think the Jazz looks fantastic. Very G1-esque in the colors. It's got that modern design that they're going with on this. He has a sniper rifle. That's that's interesting. But Daryl, you were, before I cut you off talking about Jazz, what do you think?
I think it looks amazing. I really like the look of this Jazz, and I can't wait for it to come out as a model kit. This is a model kit, right? Oh,
no. Only in our dreams, Daryl. Only in our dreams.
Damn it. It looks really good. And I think that, this one is really cool. I wonder what the, like, if this is the plan going forward, that they're just going to start doing smaller characters and less, like, stuff that goes with them, then maybe the price will come down. Like, if you remember, Tarn is just huge, right? The Star Saber is just massive, like absolutely huge, and the Megatron is a good size, but then he's got this crazy wing pack that just makes no sense at all, but it makes him big, right? If they start doing smaller guys, then maybe they'll bring the price down a little bit and normal people can afford this stuff.
Yeah.
That's the dream, I guess, but I really like the look of this Jazz. It looks really good.
I just noticed there are speakers on the inside of his door panels. They're on his mm-hmm. arms.
Well, I mean, you don't have to put those
nice
on.
Touch there.
You can just leave them off because it's a model kit. It's a model.
It looks like they would flip out, but I don't know. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if the door panels would come off and could go on his shoulders or something. Now, Charles, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I want that Jazz model kit. Yeah.
Jeremy's never picking these topics again.
The Jazz is really good. I really like that Jazz. I mean, it's just a artist rendition, so it's not the real, not a photo of the real figure. But if it looks as good as this design here, it looks really cool. But again, it's a statue. It does look really cool, but it's still a statue.
It's an action figure. It's posable.
Sure, Jan. Sure, right, Jan. Well,
the last thing that they showed off here was, we've seen this before, their Figure of the Fallen. This is also the Kuro Kara Kuri line. And then they showed off a silhouette of a mystery character, which is clearly a Seeker. Being a Seeker, all of them.
Who could it be?
One mold, they'll start with Starscream, then they'll do a Thundercracker and Skywarp, and then they'll slightly modify it to do the Coneheads. That's how these things go. We all know it. So I'm surprised it took them this long to get to the Seekers. I think none of us are really that impressed with the Fallen as a character in general. I mean, this has flames. It's kind of black and purple. The head sculpt looks interesting, but I don't know. I'm not really that into the Fallen. Do you guys have any comments on these last two?
I have one comment, and it's not on any of these in particular, but this is all of their upcoming new stuff, right?
Yeah.
Where's Windblade?
We don't talk about that. You remember when I interviewed them at C2E2?
It was a...
And that was not on the topic of discussion. Right. We talked. I remember we talked about Rodimus. We talked about Optimus Primal. So it's just, I think Windblade is not on the release
schedule. Dead in the water right now, eh? All right.
Or being remolded, getting some clothes.
Maybe.
Clearly, they listen to the outrage. But they do have a lack of female characters.
Oh, for sure.
They haven't done an RC, have they?
No.
I could see, like, an RC model kit would be great.
It'd get the same outrage that Windblade got, though.
Well, if it looked the same. I don't know. I feel like they could use some of the Siege designs.
They could.
As we're moving into Earthrise, they should make use of some of those newer designs, these newer characters. Alita 1, RC, Chromia. I mean, these are all well-known, strong female characters.
They should.
And I think they should be represented in these lines.
But the problem is the the Japanese designers designing figures for North American audiences. And that's the disconnect.
They want to make them more like your typical anime figures. And we want our robots.
Exactly. It's just a disconnect that's just not going to be solved over a few kind of tweaks of this. If they keep them and they make them look like the toys, then you might as well just get the toys. What they need to do is they need to use the same kind of designer on the male figures as they do as the female figures, and not slim them down and sexify them up. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tough. I don't really envy them at all. It's a tough place to be in because they do want to sell figures of the female characters, but there's going to be outrage either way.
And they do have that stylized line where they could do a character like, you know, you have that funky looking Optimus Prime that doesn't really do anything for me, but there is apparently an audience for it.
Mm-hmm.
You can be more creative in that line, but in like these main lines, we want them to look like they're supposed to look. All right. Well, that is my topic this week. Charles, what do you got?
More statues. First, we've got a new company, Azure Sea Studio, or at least a company I hadn't heard of before. And they are doing an officially licensed Starscream. So this has, it seems to have the crown you can put on his head. It's got some LEDs, so it's light up. So this is not an action figure. This is pretty much a static statue, it looks like. But it's got LEDs in its eyes. It's got the crown. It's a pretty dynamic pose. Looks okay. It's a statue. Jeremy, you interested in a Starscream statue?
No. I appreciate the work that goes into these.
Yeah.
If I have, you know, the however many $100 this costs, I have much better uses for it. It does seem odd, though, with this design and then having the very Transformers the Movie-esque crown on that design. That just, it looks off.
Mm-hmm. Daryl, any thoughts on this guy?
I'm not a fan of the lack of color. Any of these statues could probably look pretty cool. And I'm just looking at some of the other ones that they've put out, this Azure Studios, or C Studio. This one is their Starscream, where they also have an Optimus and they have a Bludgeon. Optimus and Bludgeon both kind of were, you know, announced on the 16th of July. So it's fairly new. We just never really talked about them. But everything's in gray. Even their Optimus and Bludgeon, they're all gray. So not a huge fan of the lack of color. I mean, Bludgeon's got some really cool color palette to him if you do him like the G1. Optimus is, you know, his colors are just iconic. But Starscream, if you're doing a G1, his colors are also pretty cool. So this grayness of it all is just, it's too movie-verse for me. So, yeah, I mean, they're cool looking. A lot of great detail. Just no color. Come on.
Yeah.
Put some color in these things.
Looks like these things would be difficult to paint, though, too.
Likely.
But yeah, I agree with you. I would prefer color than these grayscale figures. But
you're spending the money that these things cost, come on, put some damn color in it.
I'll put the Optimus and Bludgeon. I'll link those in the show notes as well, so people can take a look at those. But yeah, we haven't mentioned those before. But yeah, so I guess we'll look to see what else comes from this Azure C Studio company. So we've also got stuff from a company we have talked about before. This is 3-0 Studios. And so they've got some updates and a couple of new figures, and they're putting out a Blitzwing from the Bumblebee movie in G1 Blitzwing colors. So it looks less like Starscream now, I guess, with the classic purple and tan Blitzwing colors. And then they're doing a Shattered Glass Optimus Prime. So basically purple Optimus Prime, and it's there. I think this is a previous Optimus Prime design they had before. And then they're doing a War for Cybertron Siege figure, like statues of those figures. So they're doing an Optimus Prime. We've got the full color Optimus Prime version, and they've also announced a Megatron version. And the Shattered Glass Optimus Prime is based on the Bumblebee movie designs. I missed that there. So that it's think Bumblebee movie Optimus Prime in purple. And let's see, the War for Cybertron Optimus Prime, it looks like the model from the Netflix show, and it's got a kind of a funky pose there, and it's you know, the chest is moving around there a little weird angle, but it looks pretty good. I mean, it does remind you of the actual War for Cybertron toy. And then the Megatron one is also, we just have a gray prototype of the Megatron one, and they are all very poseable. They come with lots of weapons. It's just,
they have lights.
Oh yeah. They have LEDs, so they can light up. I think that, let me see, there's the
yeah, like Optimus's chest and his eyes.
The Shattered Glass Optimus Prime, that's going to be $209. That's supposed to come out Q4 2020, by the end of this year. The Blitzwing, I don't see a price here, but the War for Cybertron Optimus Prime is going to be $179.
Blitzwing is $215.
And Megatron is still a prototype, but I imagine it'll be the same price as the Optimus Prime, probably. So, Daryl, I'm going to start with you. Are any of these figures interesting for you?
The Megatron is essentially the toy, just it doesn't transform. Mm-hmm. So, not really. I mean, I've got that, and as a toy collector, you have the option of buying this toy like three times over right now. So, mm-hmm. in different paint styles. So, to produce one that doesn't transform is just like it's
highly detailed and has thousands of points of articulation.
No. The Optimus is the exact same thing, only Optimus. So, and there's more available toys of him out here now. And honestly, it's not even the best looking Optimus that we've gotten in the last little while. Like, if they had done it out of Earthrise Optimus, then it's a little bit more appealing, but still not. The Blitzwing one is probably the most appealing, but the color palette just is terrible. It's obviously the G1 Blitzwing color palette, but on a Seeker from the movie line. And I don't know. I just don't, in my brain, it doesn't work. So I'd prefer one of like the Seeker's color palette on there. Like, if you don't want to use Starscream's color palette, then throw a Skywarp or Thundercracker or Acid Storm or, you know, one of the other ones on there. Just don't use Blitzwings. We all know it wasn't supposed to be named Blitzwing. Just, yeah.
2 years later, they're still sticking to that story.
Yeah.
All right, Jeremy, any of these posable statue action figures looking good for you?
I actually like the colors on Blitzwing. I mean, in my mind, it's making the best out of a bad situation. I think it looks okay. I mean, the head being that yellowish color is a little off. I would have wanted the head to be the same color as the like tan or the brown that's the rest of the body. But I think it looks fine. I do like the Optimus in the lights on the Siege Optimus and stuff. And I'm looking forward to the inevitable add-on kits. Hopefully Earthrise Optimus, because it's a better figure where you could have like a light up chest and light up eyes. I don't know exactly how they would do that, but I like that look. It, you know, just from seeing it on the show, it makes, even in the comics, it, when they're lit up, it makes it look more alive. And I really like that.
All right. Well, yeah, we had a lot of statues this week.
One more thing. I wish they would sell that stand with like the Siege logo and stuff just for the regular toys.
Mm. Yeah, that looks, you could use that for a lot of stuff. All right. Well, yeah, that's all our toy talk. A lot of statues this week. Hopefully we'll get some more transforming toy news next week. But we will move on to our trips to the store. This is where we show off all the awesome Transformers stuff we got this week. We do this as a video so you can see everything we got in beautiful high definition. And we'll put the audio right here in the show so you can listen to us describe everything we got in loving detail. So without further ado, trips to the store.
The Transmissions Podcast will return after these messages.
All right, let's talk about the stuff we got. And I'm going to start it off with Jeremy.
I only have one thing this week. It's a small thing. I got a stick.
I believe that's an ornament.
It's actually a god. I got Primus. I managed to get the Battlemaster rung actually a couple weeks ago. And it won't zoom in on it very well, but it's a neat little guy. The face detail is a lot better than I would expect for a small toy like this. A lot more paint apps than I was expecting. Yeah, I never thought we would ever get a rung figure because he turns into a stick. So I'm glad that they found a way to do it here. He has the two little blast effects that, you know, go onto his feet, or you can like put them in any gun or whatever. Yeah, I think it's a great little figure. And like I said, I never thought we'd get one. So that's all I got this week.
All right, I'll go next. I got a comic. I got Transformers number 21, Rise of the Decepticons. I believe this is the Casey Collar and John Paul Bove cover. I think we really like this cover. This was awesome. The one of the times where having only one cover choice works out for me. So I really like this. And we reviewed this last week, so listen to our review in alt mode last week if you're curious about what's going on with the main Transformer series. And I also got to my local Hallmark store and got the 2020 Christmas ornament. It's Jazz.
It's too late, Jeremy. Too late, Jeremy.
I got that. I know.
So, yeah, continuing my streak, I have all of the Transformer ornaments, starting with Optimus Prime. That was, of course, thanks to DJ Ronan. But I picked up all the other ones at Hallmark. So
they changed the packaging this year. The previous years was all white, so it doesn't match all the other ones.
I'm going to open him up on camera. Ooh, he's got a gun. There he is. There's Jazz.
It's very Christmassy.
You always need a gun on your Christmas tree.
It's very these ornaments are very toyetic. Like,
watch out for the roof of that thing. It'll break off real easy.
This is pretty good. I mean, this is compared to all the other ornaments. I think this is a pretty well done one. I like it.
It looks good. It looks good. Always liked Jazz's G1 mode with the front of the car is just the chest. And I'm like, hey, it works.
Yep. All right, Daryl, you're going to wrap it up. What do you got?
All right, I do have comics as well. Again, this is Transformers Rise of the Decepticons number 21. This is also the Casey Collar cover. And it's funny because I bought this one second because the EJ Sue cover was in my bag and the shelf at the store was sold out. So I'm like, okay, well, EJ Sue's cover is still good. It's got the Time Warrior on it, and I'll take that one. And then as I, you know, showed up to the store later that day to do my shift, this cover was on the shelf. So somebody had gotten it in their bag and didn't want it. So I'm like, I'll take that one too. So I ended up buying two. So there you go. I had got those two covers. And I did get a call this week from a store.
that I had placed a pre-order at a while ago for Wave 2 of the WizKids figures.
Ah.
Oh, nice.
So apparently Wave 2 has been broken up into two parts. First part is Soundwave and RC.
Nice.
And the second part will be Rumble or Frenzy, depending on how you want to paint it, and Laserbeak or Buzzsaw. Aren't
those going to be in the same pack?
They are. And then you've got Ironhide as well. Yeah. So there's the first two. Yeah. So I was like, when I picked them up, I said, there should have been four of these. And they're like, oh no, this is what they did. And they told me all about it, but yeah.
I need to call my shop and hopefully they're still in business after all.
But I'm looking at the detail on these guys and I'm sure you can't see it here, but maybe I'll take some pictures of it and put them up on Twitter. The detail on them is great. So I've never found Optimus Prime. I've only ever painted the Megatron. I still have the Starscream in its packaging. But yeah, they're fun. They're cool. And they're really inexpensive. So
they're like $5 US.
Yeah. So they're a little bit more of that Canadian. I think they're around $8 or something Canadian, but it's not a big expenditure, especially when you're used to buying $20 toys. So they're cool. But that's it. That's all I got this week.
Well, that'll do it for Trips to the Store.
We now return to the Transmissions Podcast.
All right, we're back from our trips to the store, and we will finish up the show with convention news.
All right, we have a lot of stuff from Comic-Con at Home and some other news. We mentioned last week, if not, we're mentioning it now. Symbiote Studios has some plushie Transformers, 12-inch plush Bumblebee with a pin, and and they also have an Optimus Prime t-shirt, and they have some pins, an Optimus Prime and Megatron pin. These are all part of their Comic-Con at Home announcements, and they were up for pre-order beginning July 22nd at 6 p.m. Pacific. So they're available for pre-order now if they haven't sold out yet. You can go to shop.symbiotestudios.com. We will have a link in the show notes. But these are cute little plushies. If you've ever gotten like handmade plushies from the various vendors at like TFCon, kind of like that, a little bit different, more kind of manufactured, not handmade, but they're really cute. The plushies, they also have a Soundwave. They're $24.99. The pin sets, they have an Optimus and an Autobot logo and a Megatron and the Decepticon logo. Those are both $12.99. And the Optimus Prime Freedom shirt that says freedom is the right of all sentient beings is $19.99. Very cool things. And then we had an email from Mike Seibert about Cybefest Northwest, which is going to be a virtual convention this coming weekend, August 1st and 2nd. They're going to have live content streaming from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific both days. They have a full schedule at CybefestNorthwest.com, and it'll be streaming on their Twitch channel. And Mike himself is hosting two panels this year, Saturday at 4 p.m. This is Pacific time. He's going to be hosting The Return of the Legacy of Transformers, the movie, which is a sequel to the panel he did last year about memories of Transformers, the movie. He posted audio of that panel on his podcast, Mike Cyber Radio, last year, after the panel. And I guess this time there'll be video. I'm sure he'll put the audio in his podcast feed again. But also Sunday at 3 p.m., he's hosting an artist spotlight panel featuring Blackie Shepherd and Billy Monofort, who both worked on issue 21 of Transformers, which we reviewed last week. So he says they're both local to the Seattle area, and they're making their debut doing interior pages on Transformers with that issue. Blackie has also done some other covers, and notably he's done a lot of other books, but he did a Voltron series a few years ago that was pretty good. But this is his first Transformers work. That's cool. And then Mike is also going to be the MC for the wrap-up panel with the show organizers at 4 p.m. on Sunday. So, you know, I'm probably going to check out some of the Sidefest panels. You know, I watched some of the Comic-Con at Home panels this year. It's weird, but it's also neat getting to kind of experience some of these conventions that you won't get to go to either because of cost like SCCC or just it's not in an area of the country that's easy to get to, especially in these troubling times. So that is what we got for convention news this week.
All right. And that will do it for this episode of Transmissions. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Later.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to this episode of Transmissions. But just because this episode is over doesn't mean the Transformers fun has to stop. Join us and other Transformers fans on our Discord chat server by visiting transmissionspodcast.com/discord. If you would like to learn more about how you could support the Transmissions Podcast, just visit transmissionspodcast.com/support. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
That's what they asked me to do.
Okay. So that's what you wanted to do?
That's why I was trying to live here.
All right, all right.
All right.
It's okay, it's okay.
Settle down. Jeremy's going to have to lead this discussion, I think, just on the...
I have rough notes.
Well, you have notes. That's more than significantly better than what Charles and I have. Me trusting Jeremy's notes is getting less and less.
Hold on 1 second. I got an emergency. Hold on.
Well, this is where Charles gets to edit the podcast.
Fucking edit again. I saw him check his watch and I thought, oh shit, he's got to run. He's going to make a run for the border.
I have to reboot my router because my son's computer is getting kicked off. How bad is that going to be for the Skype video?
Can we finish the Skype video? Or is it
I have to do it right now.
Yeah, just go ahead and do it. It'll be fine. We'll just sit here. You're just making Daryl do more work.
All right. Sorry. Okay. I'm going to hang up. I'll be back in a few minutes.
At least I could just... We'll just make him start again. And I'll just cut it all out.
Yeah.
So I can ask you a question since we're alone now.
Okay.
Crisis averted, Charles.
Yeah. I just had to reboot the router because for some reason my son's computer wasn't connecting to the internet.
And I forget that autistic children need something done. It needs to be done yesterday.
Yeah, it's it can't wait.
Yeah. Nope.
Oh, I gotta step away for just 1 second. I gotta do some tech support. Hold on.
All right.
You are an engineer.
All right.
Everything's working.
I have his internet on a timer to shut off at a certain time so he'll go to bed. And I had forgotten about that. So I had to unlock that to give him extra time.
You can't just say go to bed. You're supposed to go to bed now.
If you want to litigate that, be my guest.